I want to speak to you this morning about operating on the Word of God and being a disciple or a follower of Jesus. You know, so many times, and as I've grown up in the church, been in it all my life, been in the ministry for 63 years, I see too many people basing everything on experience. Spiritual experiences, shouting, dancing, and so forth, and all of that is good, and we should have those, but our focus should be on the Word of God, not on spiritual experiences. I know some people are always going around looking for somebody to give them a word. Well, they have the Word. And John 8, 31 and 32, we read these scriptures, but do we really study them? Do we really get into them? Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Now, there's some real, very powerful and practical truths in these two verses. I want you to notice that, first of all, Jesus was talking to those that had already believed. He was talking to believers. He said, then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him. He's talking to those that already believe in him. You know, this tells us that a person receives Christ initially, and then he is telling them what to do after they have believed on him. See, these verses are especially important to believers. You know, many Christians are under fire today. I mean, all of Christianity really is under fire. We're being challenged on every hand, ridiculed, and even persecuted. If you say anything about the Bible or say about believing the Word of God, people are even losing jobs because they make a statement cut from the Word of God. Don't look at me like that. All you got to do is look at the news. I mean, you can see it. Now, Mark 14 says, 14, 15, some people are like seed along the path where the word is sown. As soon as they hear it, Satan comes and takes the word away from them, from the word that was sown in them. Sometimes people react in different ways when there is persecution or the enemy comes against them. Some people become afraid and don't do anything. They just go into a shell. You know, a little funny story. A man was sick in bed and the pastor came to visit him. You know, he couldn't get up, and the pastor said, "Hey, listen, brother, all you need to do is rebuke the devil." The man on the bed looked up at his pastor and said, "Pastor, I'm in no position to antagonize anybody." That's the way some people are. They decide, well, if I don't do anything to disturb the devil, then he'll leave me alone. But that's not true. Now, how we respond when we come under fire for the word being taken away from us, it makes all the difference in the world. And how we operate in God's word makes a lot of difference. Jesus' first instruction was to continue in the word. If you abide in my word, if you abide in my word, the old King James says, continue in my word. You are disciples indeed. How many of you would call yourself disciples of Christ? Then if you are a disciple, true disciple, you're abiding in the word, or continuing in the word. The NIV said, I'm going to read from several translations, if you hold to my teachings, you're really my disciples. If you live by what I say, you're truly my disciples. If you continue to obey my teaching, you're truly my followers. If you abide in my word, hold fast to my teachings and live according to them, you're truly my disciples. If you stick with this living out what I tell you, you are disciples for sure. I want you to notice here that little word, if. What is it? If. Some of you got it. I don't know where the rest of you are at, but I touched my ear to hear a response, and I heard a few people over here say something. Maybe the rest of you did. You just sort of whispered it. You know, there's too many people living a iffy life. If only I had done this, I wouldn't be in this mess. If I had done something different, how different it would be. You know that little word, if, is used most of the time to shift the blame or offer an excuse. You know, as to why something did or did not happen. You know, that little word if has the power to keep you from dealing with the past or to go forward with the future. It also has a potential to get you stuck in a place. Some people get in the trap, stuck in the front. Well, if God would just do certain things, if God would do this, if God would do that. Hey, the real truth is, God's already done something. What are you doing? Come on. Have you ever heard somebody say, well, if God would just bless me? Anybody ever heard somebody say that? If God would just do this, or if God would just do that. Actually, he's already done everything they're saying. They just haven't got in the word and found out about it. You know, real faith goes beyond the if. You know, if it's God's will to do something, hey, he's already done it. It's not if. It is a fact. Now, what are you going to do about it? I say that again because I want you to get a hold of that. The emphasis in this verse is really important. Abide. Abide. Like I said, the old King James, continue. This Greek word abide here means to stay in a given place, state, or relation, or expectancy. That's what Strong's Concordance said, because I'm not a Greek scholar. I just had to go read what somebody else says. But that's what Strong's Concordance said. And most all of you have how many of you got a Strong's Concordance? That's the most of you. How many of you ever go look up to see what a word? Yeah, we do that. We have to develop a determination to to continue with God no matter what happens. Stay in a constant relation, in a constant state of expecting from God. God's blessing and favor comes to those who continually abide, stay. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done. There is that word, if. It's putting you in a position if you abide. Ask yourself, am I abiding in him? And are his word is abiding in me? Now y'all getting awful quiet on me. But sometimes we just need to break some of these verses down and really think about them. Oh, we read that all the time. Oh, if I abide in Christ, he abides in me, you know. But hey, are you really abiding in Christ? Is his word really abiding in you? If the word is really abiding in you, when trouble comes, instead of throwing up your hands and saying, oh my Lord, what am I going to do? The word begins to come out of your mouth. I tell you, anybody, you can tell where if somebody is abiding and his words is abiding in them, if whenever they're in the crisis situation, what comes out their mouth? Oh, we need to check up on ourselves. Not what am I going to do, but this is what the word says is going to happen. Being in Christ is a continual journey. So many people want it, to them it's a one-time event. It's a continual journey. The more you abide in him, the more his word abides in you, then the more blessings that you see coming into your life. Being in Christ is not a one-time experience. It's a lifestyle. A lifestyle. Many people experience salvation, but are they on a continually daily walk with him? Or is everything else in the world, the work, everything else coming, all the pressures of life is coming in on them, and are they paying more attention to that than they are the word? If you'll pay more attention to the word, then you'll be able to navigate through all the pressure and the stuff that's coming against you every day. We all, you, me, everybody, has all kinds of pressure and stuff coming against us daily. And it's up to us to have our mind renewed with the word, see, living in the word, abiding in the word, his word, that will alleviate us from falling prey to the pressure and being stressed out. You want to know how to keep from being stressed out? Have the word of God abiding in you. The enemy's going to bring everything he can against you. He's going to do everything he can to deter you from living the life God wants you to live. And the only way you're going to be able to do it, it's not on experience, but thank God for experience. We need those. But it's on the word of God. My dad used to say all the time, he said, too many people are wanting a shouting good time all the time, and they're weak. They're weak Christians. You only become a strong Christian when you're in the Word. Now, I'm not minimizing our experiences that we have, our spiritual experiences that we have, but you cannot sustain your life on those. Because the minute you walk out of a service that's been high and flying, and that's great, and I'm glad for them, we need them. You can walk out that door, the devil gonna slap you up beside the head, and you're not gonna feel that feeling anymore. That ecstasy that you feel when the Spirit of God has got you and you're jumping and you're running and you're having a good time. Let me tell you what, when you walk out that door, Satan's gonna hit you up beside the head to see if you really believe what you're shouting about. And the only way you're going to sustain is if you have been abiding in the Word. Hello. If you're going to be successful, you got to be in the Word every day. Not just read a precious promise. I don't know whether they still have those or not, but when I was growing up, they had these little boxes with these precious promises. Anybody know what I'm talking about? And that's all. Every day, people, while they were drinking their coffee before they went to work, they read a precious promise, and that's all they would read of the Word. That's not going to sustain you. That would be like eating breakfast and not eating anything else the rest of the day. Or that'd be like, you know, just, you've got to get in a habit of continually reading the Word. That's the only way you're going to abide in the Word, is to stay in the Word. Some people are more interested in what's going on the television, in the news, than they are interested in what the Word has to say. They can tell you everything that's going on that they heard on the newscast, and you start talking to them about the Word, and they come up, oh, blah, 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 you know. They hadn't been abiding there. No matter how good it was, or how bad it was, you stay in the Word every day. If you have, oh, this has been a great day. Tomorrow might be a bad day. It don't make no difference. Good or bad, you're still in the Word. The Word is your foundation. Turn to your neighbor and say, the Word is my foundation. Abide in my Word. That is where our Christian life centers. That is the center of our Christian life. We have to have the salvation experience of accepting Jesus Christ, but the center of our life revolves around this Word right here, the Word of God. Our life revolves around this. You see, that's what holds us in place. How many of you remember science class? How many of you remember studying that all of the universe, all of these planets and stuff, revolve around the sun? And they're all spinning in an orbit that holds them all in place. Am I correct? And that just happened. No, God had something to do with it. Our planet spins, and we have a moon. All of these things have a center. And the center of the entire thing is the sun. How many of you remember that from science class? Well, I got a few of you that paid attention in science class. Of course, I liked science and history. English and math, that wasn't my deal. So then, our life centers and revolves around God's Word. If you want to live a stress-free life, make sure the Word of God is the center of your life. You know, the question is, what are we doing with God's Word? Solomon tells us how important the Word is. In Proverbs 4, my son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. The NLT says it, my child, pay attention to what I say. Listen carefully to my words. Don't lose sight of them. Let them penetrate deep into your heart, for they bring life to those who find them and healing to their whole body. Pay attention to what he says. What does he say? Somebody said, I don't know. God and all these people talk about God talking to them, but he don't talk to me. And I said, and I tell them, then you hadn't read the word, because that's him talking. And he says in the word that all of my needs are met. He says in the word that I'm healed, I'm whole. He says in the word that I walk in peace and health and safety. He says in the word this. He says in the word, anytime, anything you want to think about, he says it in the word. Our life, that's our life. That's our lifeline. Some people think that their life revolves around their job. No, your life revolves around God and the things of God and the word of God. Are you there? Or are you going home already? Now, we talked a little bit about the word, and I could go on and on about that, but I don't know that there's, I think all of you understand that anyway. I'm not telling you anything you haven't heard before. What I want to do is stir up your pure minds to think about it again and make adjustments if you need to. You know, Peter said, long as he was in his body, he's going to remind his people of those truths. Well, as long as I'm pastor here, I'm going to keep reminding you of the truths of the Word of God that you already have heard and already know. The problem is when somebody starts talking to you about something that you say, oh, I already know that, you shut it off. But if you'll listen, you'll get a new thought on the same thing that you got this thought on. Because the Holy Spirit is there to take the word and to reveal it to you in different ways. You know what? It depends on what's going on in your natural life. When you hear the word of God, he will begin to reveal to you how to overcome in that area. And you're seeing it from this way. This person over here, they're in a different place, and the Holy Spirit gives them something different out of the same verse of Scripture. Hello. So my dad used to say, son, I don't care how many times you hear it, listen, the Holy Spirit will give you something else, something different. Let's look at this word, disciple. If you abide in my word, You are my disciples indeed. Disciples. In the Greek, that means, according to Strong's, a learner, a pupil. Now that puts you right there, puts you in a position to ask yourself a question. Am I a pupil? Am I learning? This gives us a good picture of discipleship. Discipleship, of course, starts with believing on Jesus. It begins the moment you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. But now let's go a little further. It means to continue believing what Jesus says and following it. Okay? Discipleship, then, is following what he says in the Word. Now, I almost had my private pilot's license, and I was up to just to take a cross country and do a check ride, and I realized that I did not have time that I needed to put in to be a good pilot. A lot of these smaller planes that crash is because the pilot has not put the time in to remain a good pilot. Or they don't do what they should do. Many years ago, my dad preached for this guy a lot of times, and his son was about 5 years older than me, I think. And he had a plane, a pilot. He became a very successful car dealership, had dealerships. So he decides one day, he calls the airport and he said, "Hey, get my plane ready. I'm going to bring my staff and we're going to fly over to so-and-so for lunch." Okay? Now he has his instrument rating. He has twin engine. But you see, he knew what to do, but he didn't do it. Instead of going through the pre-flight check that he should have done, he knew it because he had been trained. He had the word on it, but he didn't do it. They just jumped in the plane, he took off. They hadn't fueled it yet. And they crashed and took all of their lives. You know, it's one thing to know, but another thing to do. I was taking lessons right out here at Jones Airport or Riverside, whatever you call it. And I would sit there and watch them fuel the plane and do everything. And there'd be other guys with me. They'd be taking care of several planes because we're going to fly. And I'd watch some of them go out there and just jump in the plane and take off. I didn't do that. I walked out. I opened that door. I reached up, I turned the key on, and I checked those fuel gauges, and I turned it off. Come out, I walked down this side of the wing, checked the flaps and everything, around to the front side, checking the front side of the wing like you're supposed to. Took the cap off, stuck my finger down in there, and fuel, put it back. Went around, checked the prop, opened up the cowling. Check, make sure that oil cap was, that we had oil, make sure that cap was on tight. A because that's one thing that if that cap ain't on tight and that oil starts coming out, you're in trouble, and it will. I do the same thing, walk around the other wing all the way around, check the tail, check the rudders, check everything, come back up the side, then I get in. And then I close the door, put on seat belts, turn that key on, look at those fuel gauges again, and then look to see if all of the instruments are operating. Why? Because that's what I had been trained to do in the book before I ever went out and did it in the aircraft. You have been trained in the Word of God, but the problem is too many people are doing what a lot of people do. They're not actually doing what it says to be done. There's David Fusell back there on that camera right there. He's our pilot. I watch him. Every time we fly, he goes through the same exercise every time before he ever cranks that plane up. When we're going from and down for a descent, for a landing, he goes through this checkoff list. I watch him do it. Why? He's trained to do it, but if he doesn't do it, maybe something could go wrong if he doesn't check everything. You got to continually check everything with the Word continually and continually do it. Just don't, oh, well, it's all right. Hallelujah, praise the Lord. No, you got to, what's the Word? Get in there. Do what it says every time. Every time. We are so cognizant of the fact in the natural to do what it says to do in the manual. But we are not that cognizant when it comes to what it says to do in this manual. Come on. Discipleship means constantly remaining in the Word. That involves four things. Constant listening. The Word of God is speaking every time you read it. Constant learning. A disciple is learning something every day from the Word. The minute you quit learning from the Word is the minute you stop your discipleship. Oh, y'all are getting awful quiet now. It involves constant study. Until it becomes a part of us. Constant study. You know, Dave has been flying for I forget how many years now. He started flying before he could drive. How many years you been flying, Dave? 35 years he's been flying. You know what? He still goes to flight safety twice a year. Once a year or twice a year. Twice a year. And they put him in a simulator. And he goes to, what's that? That's constant training. Once a year, They go for international training. Why am I using that? Hey, his life, my life, everybody that's on that plane's life depends on that. Now here's where I'm coming back. Your life depends on continual training in the Word of God. You know, some people just hire a pilot. I ain't gonna fly with them. So I don't know what they've been doing. I don't know what their training is. I don't know if they've kept up with their training or not. But I know what these guys do. Hello? Come on now. Lynette's brother, my brother-in-law, is a banker. Has been for a number of years. But he still gets, I don't know what they call them, about every day, and he reads them and studies them, although he's been doing banking for years. I know because I see them. They come through my office up there. They've got a box for Dave. We get all of these air directives and these different things coming through, and they look at those things. Why? Because it's important to their life. Look at the Word. Stay in the Word. It's important to your life. It is your life. It sustains you. Constant study. Constantly obeying what it says. My friend, he didn't obey what he was supposed to do, and it cost him his life. I'm going to say something that you might not like it, but there are a lot of Christians that, I don't understand, I don't know what's happening. And it's because they are not constantly obeying what the Word says. It's like, man, my dad was at a convention with a bunch of ministers, and each one was preaching. Dad was one of the speakers. And this man had preached that night. Next morning, he came to Dad's room, and he said, "Oh, Brother Hagin, I'm all stopped up, and I gotta speak, and pray for me, the Lord to heal me." And some of y'all thought y'all know Dad, but my dad looked at him and said, "I won't pray for you till you repent." He said, "What are you talking about?" He said, "You came off of that platform. You had perspired heavenly. You walked out into cold air, not have a coat on, didn't have nothing on your head, and now you are congested and have respiratory because you disobeyed what you should have done." Hello? Many people ask you, "Well, I don't know why this is happening to me. Why is God?" Well, a lot of times, but a lot of times it's because they haven't obeyed what the Word of God told them to do. In fact, I remember years ago, a man came to me, "I can't understand why I'm in this financial mess. I keep praying and asking God to meet my needs." And I said, "When's the last time you give an offering?" "Oh, I don't have the money to give no offering." I said, "The Bible says if you don't give, he can't bless you." "Well, I don't have it." All right. It's on you. It ain't on God. Don't look at me like that. Some of y'all want financial blessing and you hadn't paid tithes and I don't know when or given an offering. I know y'all don't. Some people don't like you talking about that, but it's the truth. See, you find out what God wants and how he wants you to act, how he wants you to live, and you do it. You obey. It says, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." In John 17, Jesus has spoken to his followers, his disciples, some others, that it was now time for him to be offered up. And then he prayed a prayer to the Father in John 17, 16. And he said, "They're not of this world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I have also sent them into the world. And for their sake, I sanctify myself, that they also may be sanctified by the truth." Let me read that from the NLT. "They don't belong to this world any more than I do. Make them holy by your truth. Teach them your word, which is truth. Just as you sent me into the world, I'm sending them into the world. And I gave myself as a holy sacrifice so that they could be made holy by your truth." Here, he's talking to God about his disciples. We're his disciples. He's saying, asking the Lord, "I'm sending them into the world, and make them holy by your truth," or "keep them by the truth of your word." A question we need to ask ourselves: what am I basing my life on? My career? My material possessions? Pleasure? Or are we basing our lives on the truth of God's word? "If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, the truth shall make you free." You know, you can't be free beyond your actual knowledge of God's word. You know, I've just talked to you for a few moments today about this verse of scripture. It hasn't been a shouting sermon, but it's an informative sermon. It's a sermon that should make you begin to make some questions. Oh, am I doing this? Am I doing this? Am I doing that? What? See, the freedom of life comes from the power of the word. When you have the truth, you're free from fear. When you have the truth, you're free from what other people say. See, there's some people that they're always concerned about what the other person going to say about them. Who cares? What does the Bible say about me? What does God say about me? That's what counts. I don't care. People say all kinds of things about me. All we got to do is read it on the internet. I don't even go look at that mess. Most of it's they've taken everything I've said out of context and saying what they want it to say. H.G. Wells said this: "The voice of our neighbor sounds louder in our ears than the voice of God." What is the voice of God right here? The word. A true disciple is someone that knows the truth and that abides in that word continually, knowing that statement, "the truth shall make you free," is a definite statement. It's not a suggestion. It's not a maybe so. It's not a sometimes maybe. It's not a, well, maybe it would happen if this. No, it's one word: "The truth shall make you free." free from everything that wants to bind you and hinder you and keep you from walking with God. I just simply broke this scripture down a little bit today so that we all might have a better understanding of what it means to be abiding in the Word. And now, you're like a jury. You have to make a decision. Are you abiding in the Word? Heavenly Father, I simply spoke to these people a few moments today to stir up their hearts and get them to ask themselves the question, am I really abiding in the Word or just sometimes? But they need to be all the time. Thank you, Father, that everybody will find what they needed out of this message and take it to heart, because everybody didn't need everything, but somebody needed part of it. So everyone needed part. Thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. If you had bowed and eyes closed, maybe you're in this place today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, so you can't abide in Him until you receive Him. Or you're in a position that a lot of people find themselves in. They start out with God, with Jesus, but then they have digressed and they're not where they're supposed to be and they need to rededicate their life. Anybody on any one of those three invitations, anywhere in the room, upstairs, downstairs, anywhere, want to pray with you, let me see your hand right now in Jesus' name. I'm looking across the room. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Heavenly Father, I don't see any hands today. If there be one person in this room that needs your Son Jesus Christ as their Savior, or one person that needs to rededicate their life, I thank you that the convicting power of God will go with them and they won't be satisfied doing anything until they stop and accept you and rededicate their life to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord.